The Iron Game Chalk Talk podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com and IgnitionAPG.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefery.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefery's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefery.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefery, and this is episode number 75. Iron Game Chalk Talk is a weekly podcast where I bring you experts in the field to talk shop. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to us on iTunes or YouTube, or join the mailing list at ronmckeefery.com to get the latest updates and the latest guests. This week, we're excited to have Juan Carlos Santana with us. JC was one of the first speakers that I heard when I went to a NSCA conference, just getting into the business, and a guy that I've always been just inspired by his creativity and passion. He's been in the field for a long time, so we talk about his journey. He's really known for training MMA athletes, and so we get into a little bit of MMA programming and things along those lines, but just kind of the overall ebb and flow of this profession. And so I know you're really going to enjoy that episode. Before we get started, I want to make sure we recognize our sponsors, EliteForm.com and IgnitionAPG.com. Both these guys have made a commitment to help and continue to bring free education to you guys. And so I'd encourage you to reach out to them anytime. Just say thank you for that. Ignition is a sports performance company based in Cincinnati, Ohio, and just does some fantastic things and does it the right way, more importantly. But the big thing that strength coaches would probably be most interested in is their speed system certification. It's a certification that I took last year. I think it's very well done. And again, a lot of times it's giving that little extra boost to your career just to show that you have a little bit more advanced training and in an aspect that every coach wants. And so they have a seminar and testing date set for November 7th and 8th. At the Athletes in Action Sports Complex there in right outside of Cincinnati. And I would highly encourage it if you have the ability to go to that to make sure to do so. If not, they do them on demand, off-site and things like that. So I'd reach out to them. But just go to IgnitionAPG.com for more information on their products and their certification. Lastly, if you are a young strength coach or, you know, GA, an intern, just getting into the field and you're looking for that community and that networking opportunity. We have a product called Strength Coach Basic Training that is basically my internship program online. And so you're able to go and watch, you know, 8 different lectures that I give our interns every semester on just the process of becoming a strength coach. You know, and then you have just a ton of coaches commenting on those presentations, and you're able to network right away. You know, we add manuals, we talk about, you know, we have a video series of our interns giving presentations here. Anytime we add anything, it goes on the board. And so it's just a great resource, a great community. If you're interested in that, go to strengthcoachbasictraining.com, sign up, and then we'll add you to the Facebook group here and get you going right away. So I'd highly encourage you to do that. I want you to enjoy this episode. JC's a very passionate guy, a great guy that volunteered his time to us. And so sit back, take notes, and we'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, real, real excited to have JC Santana with us. JC is one of the strength coaches that when I went to one of my first conferences, this guy was up there holding court, man, had about 500 people in the audience and was ducking under and doing some boxing moves on the stage, just had everybody enthralled. And it's a guy that had an early influence on my career, and so I'm real excited to have you on the show, man.
Thank you, my brother. It's always a pleasure to be with professionals that show how old I am. And but more important, like that have a passion for this industry, and we're Vince Lombardi's at heart.
No doubt. Oh, I appreciate that, man. JC, you know, let's go back into the journey, man. What got you into strength and conditioning, and then, like you said, you've been able to sustain a business, in a business that's so tough, and you've been able to do it for the long haul. And so, how have you been able to maintain it, and what are you doing now?
Well, you know, you go through your life. You always love movement and sports, like everybody else. You do your little league stuff like that. You go through college. You think you want to be a doctor, an engineer, bam, bam, and then usually you hit a point in your life. At least I did, where I asked the most important question after going bankrupt in my initial business. I was a musician. I was a bar owner. I was an engineer. I was all this. You close the bar down. You don't want the nightlife, the drinking, all that stuff anymore. You got a kid. And you go, I'm miserable. What was I doing when I was the happiest in my life? And it was always gym related, writing diets on a napkin and showing people how to exercise. I said, you know what? You were great at that. You loved it. You lived it. You represented it. You got to get back into that. So I went back to school, exercise science, got a bachelor's, a master's, and I never looked back since. Because when you have your passion, when your favorite pastime is your work, you're going to outperform the rest. Mm-hmm. If you read Talent is Overrated, they said 10,000 hours or 10 years, right? So if all our spare time is spent, okay, doing what we love, we outperform the competition that does it as work. Because if somebody's a personal trainer or a director at a health club and that's their job, but when they go home, they do photography or they surf or they do what they love.
Right.
When we go home, we read papers, we write articles, we do videos, we do shows, we spread the word. So what happens over 5 years? The hours. We outdo in hours. We get to 10,000 hours much faster than anybody else does.
Great.
Just the math alone justifies it. So that's what it is. So of course, you know, you start working as a personal trainer, you build your business like that because it oozes out of your body, and then you realize that you can do it better than the gym you're at. That's how it starts.
Yep.
You know, you open up your own gym, and of course, you know, 2008 happens, and IHP financially is not as successful as everybody else thinks. But my lecture tour, my world name, has allowed me to hold it up. So I'm not looking at the 401k. I'm looking at my legacy.
Right.
My 401k and a Lamborghini is not who I am. You know, when I want to die, I don't want somebody to say, wow, he has, you know, $10 million in the bank, ran a successful business, left behind 3 cars, and his children don't have to work. That's not what I want. Right. What I want is to say, this guy left the world better than he found it.
Absolutely.
This dude was an icon and helped to change the industry as we know it. If that's said at my deathbed, I am complete. I go on to the next one happy.
Absolutely. Simple. Well, it'd be nice to have both, right? It'd be nice to be able to do that as well as have the Lamborghini in the garage, but
because there's nothing wrong with financial security. That's
not
one thing that trainers want to, like, we work for food. No. No, we work for passion.
Absolutely.
The passion of helping people. But I'm learning now at 55, okay, with very little to my name, and I'm open about it. So folks, if you have very little to your name, it doesn't mean that you're a failure. It means you just haven't made the right decisions because you haven't looked at things the right way.
Sure.
10 years have shown me that I need to change my outlook on money.
Mm-hmm.
If it ain't important to you, you're going to attract that energy.
I agree 100%. Well, you know, there was a nugget there that I want everybody to hone in on is the humility it takes to do this job. You know, be a strength and conditioning coach, run your own business, whatever. There are so many trials and tribulations, and
yes,
that, you know, it's not this rosy picture every day. You know, I mean, I'm you know, and I'm open about it on my show as well. I mean, right now I'm living apart from my family, which I hate, but because it doesn't make enough sense for us to move our situation, because my daughter has autism and some things like that.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make sense to move them where I'm currently at. And, you know, so we just made a conscious decision that we're going to plant a flag and have a home base for our kids to get through high school and the whole deal. And you know, but so there's sacrifice there. There's sacrifice every day. And, And this Generation IY of instant gratification, if you don't have an understanding of that, you're going to fail, and you're going to fail big. Talk about, you know, we talked a little bit about failure. Talk about some of your wins. You know, what's something that you feel like you did really well in your career? You mentioned, you know, the fact that you speak globally, and I think global strength and conditioning is the path for all of us right now.
I'm grateful for everything. I am grateful for IHP not being a financial success, because it has shown me the importance of that paradigm to nurture and take care of that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a win for me. That's a win for me. Everybody says, well, the failure, it's not a failure. It's not a failure. Somebody knocks you down in the seventh round, it's not a failure. It's, you didn't see the right hand coming. You get up. There's the victory right there. You get up.
Right.
So the fact that IHP is still open after 14 years, huge victory.
Yeah.
The fact that it's a cauldron of the finest people that I have ever known, I have met because this place has been open. You know, from stem cell giants in Mexico to Hulk Hogan that I spent time with 2 weeks ago in Mexico, to the best anti-aging doctors on the planet lecturing in Dubai and around the world, to my world name.
Right.
For crying out loud, 70 DVDs, 15 books. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Cirque du Soleil wouldn't have walked into a park or into my garage. They walked into IHP.
Right.
SEAL Team 6 walked into IHP. The best fighters in the world walked into here.
That's awesome.
How am I going to say, well, what are some of my wins? Everything is a win.
That's awesome.
Everything is a win.
Well, that's the attitude you got to have. Again, I mean, there's, you know, I just had a conversation earlier today on, you know, every time that an athlete sends me back a email saying that they're getting married and they're inviting me to their wedding, or that they just got this big job that they've been trying for, or they just had a child, or whatever it may be, those minor daily battles and that daily investment has led to these major wins in their lives, and I'm a part of that in some small way, and real excited about that. You know, one thing you mentioned early on, you said you had this eclectic background. You know, you were a musician, and you had all these different things that kind of led to your path. You know, I would imagine that's maybe what you'll lean back to when I ask this question. But one of the things that I've always respected the most about you is your creativity. You know, those 70 DVDs and those 15 books, I probably have all of them. You know, there's a tremendous amount of creativity there. Where do you pull this stuff from?
You know, if you want to really get really woo-hoo crazy, look, I believe very much in the human consciousness and human awareness. And I believe that we're all tapped into this collective conscious where every question you ask already has an answer. If not, the question wouldn't be asked. I don't care if it's fusion. How does that happen? How does the sun split the hydrogen atom and continue to fire? If you can ask that question, the answer already exists. And it exists in this collective consciousness that we are all tapped into.
Right.
Okay? And that comes from the source, whatever you want to call that. So when I have these moments where I'm writing and I just have the spontaneous, boom, this comes out, I know that I've tapped into that. You're tapped into it. Everybody who's listening is tapped into it. We all are computer terminals tapped into one single database.
Mm.
And all it's up there. So when we have brilliant ideas, it comes from there. We're just channeling the divine. Sure. That's the woo over there. But you know what? I'm an artist. If you want to consider that,
yeah.
I'm an artist. I paint. I do ceramics, I play music, I record, I write poems. It's just, that's how I tap into divinity. And the expression of that is my art. And the way I practice my fitness, a lot of people have compared it, like you say, to a lot of creativity. That's an expression of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, and that's so much of our profession. That's the, you know, one of the things that people probably get sick of me saying is that, you know, I'm a principle-based strength coach, not a philosophy-based strength coach. Because when you identify yourself with a philosophy, you close your mind to so many different good things that are out there. You
know? Oh, yeah,
yeah. And so that artist, you know, and that's also how, you know, when evaluating strength coaches, it's hard to evaluate a strength coach because it's just a different form of art, you know. And so I totally agree with you. With your, you know, with early on, you were one of the first people that really kind of, you know, really wrote about, talked about, presented about just functional training in general, you know, and kind of taking it to sport. Talk a little bit about your functional training philosophy and, you know, kind of where you've kind of, you know, positioned yourself now in terms of philosophy.
Well, yeah. I mean, when we first started functional training, there was all this stuff that was available. So I got very creative and came up with a lot of different ways that I thought, according to what was coming out at the time, the unstable training, research from Ailes, the transverse abdominis research from the Australians, and so on and so forth. So, of course, you know, I did the drawing in maneuver at first and so on. But with practice, as you take this for a test run, so I go, okay, here's all the new science. Look at all the wonderful resources that we have. And I start going up, boom, 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 balance this, balance that, unstable training. Little by little, as you start practicing honestly, unbiasedly, you're not trying to make the argument for functional training. You are trying to research and develop that. So I had no agenda. I don't care about stability balls. I was very excited, did 2-volume DVDs. Here's all you can do. But through all my years, I was greatly influenced by Bruce Lee, who's a philosopher of movement, if you will, and his Jeet Kune Do philosophy.
Yep.
Don't be enamored by the style, or don't be enamored by the tool. Be enamored by the success.
Absolutely.
Drop what doesn't work. It doesn't mean you don't love it. It doesn't mean you won't bring it back at some day for some application, but drop it. So I've done this. Yeah. And then I just landed here and just blew this up a little bit. So basically, I've pretty much done away with my balance training. We don't draw in. We put our feet on the ground and move as heavy loads as possible in every way we can, more specifically to the activity that we want to do. And concentrate on fine human will, meaning we're going to condition the living daylights out of you. We're going to put you through an IHP will surpass anything you will even come close to coming up with on the battlefield.
Absolutely.
It's not about condition. It's how can we forge your will. So you can, I'm going to improve on that. That's the tool, baby. Exercise is a tool. VO2 is not what we're going after. Well, if we need more mass, but I don't care if you bench press 400, 200. What I want to know is that when you line up against the other person and you look at them in the eyes, you can say with confidence, without a doubt, I have been to places you've yet to eat. And I'm going to take you to that deep water one time, and I know you will fold the way I folded when I was taken to that deep water.
Right. You know,
when I got taken, I folded. The only thing is that I have so many layers, you're capable of gay. Today. How about Colt Frazier?
No doubt.
Okay, so he goes, Joe, you can't beat me. I spoke with Joe many, many years ago. He goes, Joe, you can't beat me. God is on my side. You know what Joe Frazier said? Joe Frazier told him, well, God is getting his ass kicked tonight. In the ring, true story.
That's awesome. Well, you know, you talk about fighting. You're most probably known for now with your work with MMA fighters. And what, you know, when you get a fighter in, let's say it's 6 weeks out, 8 weeks out, whatever your fight camp is, what does a typical training week look like? What's a typical training day look like?
Well, we got to coordinate what they're doing with what they're doing back in their dojo or their fighting camp. And usually there's a lot of overtraining, so I am pleading with the fighter to forego some of the sparring, and if the sparring is 8 rounds to 3, and so on and so forth, trying to make them aware of all the junk work that they're doing. Because they try to perfect, and they have to understand by now, you've been fighting for 10 years. Son, you don't have to perfect anything. Your jab is about as good as it's going to get. Your right hand is about as good as... You're not going to try anything new. What you need to do is be as sharp in the third round as you are in the first round, so when the guy fades, you're there.
Yeah.
It's simple. So, you know, a day with us, it's going to be 3 days a week, you know. A typical camp here is maybe 2 weeks of conditioning, 2 weeks of strength, and then we go into power and power endurance right off the bat. We're going to at least have 4 to 5 weeks of power endurance. So we work from the fight, we take a week to make weight, and then we start fighting camp there.
Okay.
At the end. We complete fighting camp there.
Yeah.
7 days out. And then we work forward. If you give me 5 weeks, you're going to get your ass kicked in power endurance phase from day one here. Sorry, that's just the way it's going to go.
Sure.
So it's a functional, what we call gorilla strength on Monday. That's a functional strength at about 5 reps, the hardest things we can imagine. From one-arm pull-ups to single-leg deadlifts with a 40K kettlebell. Whatever it is, you're going for 5. One-arm push-ups, one-arm leg raises, I mean one-arm, one-legged squats, one-arm push-ups, one-arm pull-ups. Whatever we can do to kill you, we will. All right? So it's 3 or 4 exercises, 3 or 4 sets of 5. There's your this, and we do a sharp hit of cardio, maybe 5 sets of VersaClimbers, 30 seconds at 200 feet per second with about 30 seconds to 1 minute off. That's a butt whipping. That's a bad round right there. That's a terrible round. You know? Then on Wednesday, we would probably just hit you with power. So we do the complex training, squats and vertical jumps to a rotation. We do that 2 or 3 times, 5 squats, 5 vertical jumps, 10 to 20 rotations. Then we'll do something for a bench. We'll do a bench press, medicine ball throws or punches, and then back extension. And then we'll do something for the back, a pull-up or a lat pull-down, overhead medicine ball throws or MV squared Muay Thai pull. And then we'll do some clinching or some moves like that. Another 3 hits on the VersaClimber the way we did on Monday. On Friday, we go gut check. That is UFC at IHP. And that is a circuit of about 7 to 8 exercises that total about 5 minutes and 15 seconds, 5:30. And we start, obviously, when they start doing those circuits, they go in about 6 minutes and they rest 3 minutes. Because they're tired.
Right.
But when you work them for 5 weeks and they're getting in better shape, better shape, better shape, that 6 minute is turned down to about 5:15.
Right.
Got it? Which is around. And that 3 minute rest goes from 3 minute week one, 2 minute week two, 1 minute week three. And then we go next one, we do the circuit with a little vest that weighs about 5 pounds.
Yeah.
And we last that for a minute and then no vest for the last week. So you have... hit the mark with a vest, hit the mark unloaded.
And how many rounds, you said?
If the fight is 3 rounds, it's 3 rounds. If the fight is a championship round, it's 5, they got to go with 5.
I got you.
We don't do over rounds because if you're doing over rounds or over distance, you're going to be doing subpar intensity. And we want fight intensity all the time. That's the only intensity you're allowed. Actually, supra fight, because if we've watched heart rates during... average sparring in training, and they train hard. I've seen these guys train harder than they fight.
Right.
It's like why are you going so hard? You're going to hurt each other. No, that's the way we go. I don't agree with it, but I've checked heart rate monitors. We put heart rate monitors with tape, and that is nowhere near our circuits. Nowhere near our circuits.
Right. So with the metabolic demands, you know, and adding a metabolic piece to the training, how do you balance the amount of metabolic work that they're doing in the ring with their road work, things like that, with what you're doing in the weight room?
No road work. Because, look, all this base cardio is BS.
Yeah.
Because, look, if you can run gassers all you want, that'll help a basketball player because that's what they do.
Right.
But that's not going to help a wrestler because the demands from running are totally systemic. Cyclic, one leg at a time, nothing in the upper body. When you grapple with somebody, the cardiovascular demand comes from trying to neutralize the hydrogen that's produced through isometric training in the the upper body. So if you take a basketball player, clinch them for 30 seconds, they're done.
Right.
So the metabolic demands have to be very specific. People throw around proprioception. Oh, this is proprioceptively enriched training, so you have to be in unstable. No, the proprioception, which is a language and information needed to bat a ball, is not the same one that is required to stand on a BOSU ball. So proprioception, you just can't go proprioception for the sake of proprioception. Proprioception is a sound.
Right.
Okay? So if I talk to you very clearly in Spanish, I go, oye, Ron, ¿cómo andamos? ¿Fuiste a la casa hoy? ¿Cómo está tu mamá? And you go, well, I have very good proprioception. It's very good Spanish. It's easily understood if you're Spanish.
Right.
But it's meaningless to you. So if you learn how to walk a tightrope, you're going to be really good at walking the tightrope, but that doesn't make you a better soccer player.
I got you.
Specific proprioception. Well, cardiovascular specificity is the same. If you get tired because isometrically you're squeezing your body and your core to hold on to somebody, and you're changing levels to ward off sprawling and to sprawl and to takedown, that has nothing to do with running.
Right.
That has very little even to do with great cardio like Versa climbers. The climber we don't do for cardio. The Versa climber we do for your human will.
Yeah.
To take that pain and keep going. That's all we're doing. That's where we only do five. All I got to do is make one of those five bigger than anything. That's the one that counts. The other four are nonsense.
Makes sense. That makes sense. You know, with the... you had to balance in your business, then you're working with the elite MMA fighter and then also working with, you know, general population. You know, what are the big changes between the different kinds of clientele?
Intensity.
Yeah.
That's it. What's the difference between a staggered stance contralateral arm press for a fighter? We call it a punch.
Right.
That's in his stance and he interprets and integrates that movement relative to his psyche, his reality, what he does.
Sure.
If I do that with a housewife, she's going to sit there and do exactly what I tell her. For her, it'll maybe a chest press.
Right.
And something toning her arms and her chest. It's a different perception from a different reality. If it's a jump, well, this guy's going to jump vertical. If he's a basketball player, he's going to jump more from he's probably going to take a lead step if he's a volleyball player, you know, like they take lead steps onto the net. If he's a fighter, I may not even do a box jump because they don't jump. You know, that's not what they do.
Right.
But if I need it just for general explosion, just to teach them how to explode, so when they throw a punch, they learn what explosion is, then, you know, I go, hey, man, just jump up there, you know, teach them the counter movement and rock and roll. And I go, there's really nothing that I want out of this jump other than now. Explode now.
Sure.
And a lot of times you use to teach that neural conduction. That's it.
Hmm.
But there's a jump. Yeah. You know, so for grandma, it could be jump across this line, grandma.
I hear you there. Well, you know, you said you early on you were coaching. You've been coaching for a long time, obviously. What is the best piece of coaching advice that you've ever received?
That I've received?
Yeah.
From Gary Gray. I can remember that. Gary Gray had some basketball camps. And I was getting ready to run my St. Andrews Speed Agility Quickness Camp. And I went to see my first Gary Gray Chain Reaction Festival at the Catamaran Hotel in San Diego. I remember it like now. And I had more of Andy Siegel, my wrestling coach style. You know, don't give me that BS, you know. Coach, I'm nervous. Don't give me that BS. Suck it up, you know. So, There was not much compassion, although there was a lot of strength there, you know? So Gary Gray did a pump and praise where you worked, and it was just about encouragement. Encouragement. Parapoletos, I think it's called. Parapoletos. It's some Greek word that he used for the Chain Reaction Festival. That sounds so much more powerful, so much more power instead of force, like Dr. Hawkins says. One thing is force, rah, 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 and another thing is power, which is it cuts. Power cuts, force pushes, you know? And it's more like Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi didn't talk to you, you're a bunch of.
Right.
Vince and, you know, 17 points down and goes, what are you going to tell your grandchildren today? That today was the day that you could have had one of these, but chose not to? That's when I got there, I have never coached the same again.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Since we're on the motivational topics, we always end the show with some resources. Give us a favorite quote.
A favorite quote? I don't know if I have a favorite quote. Nothing comes to mind right now, you know, but I'll give you mine.
Okay.
Any monkey can go on YouTube, get an exercise, take it on Monday, and count from 10 down. But the man and the student to experience psyche the client and inspire them to greatness.
That's a good one. I'll link that up. What about a book, app, and a website recommendation?
Talent is overrated.
It's a great one.
Fantastic one. To be followed by the Talent Outliers. First, Talent Overrated.
Malcolm Gladwell, yep.
Follow it by Outliers, and then finish it up with the Talent Code. This one talks about the time. This one talks about the opportunity, and this one talks about the physical manifestations that these two create. It's money.
I agree. All three are great.
App? I don't have any apps because I'm not this generation. No apps for me. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sure there's some good ones. And what else?
Just a website. If you're surfing the web, where do you go?
I don't surf the web for information. PubMed. I go to scientific journals, the NSCA, you know, I'll search journals for scientific information, and then I tap into the collective conscious and just close my eyes, and I'm inspired by life, and I let divinity run through me and give me what it can give me.
That's great. That's great. Well, what, the last question here, we have a lot of young coaches that listen to the show. You've been in this field for 30 plus years here. What piece of advice would you give them to have the same longevity as well as success in the field for them 30 years from now?
Do, number one, work in your passion. It can't be work. It's got to be play. And if you play every day, you'll never work a day in your life. It's that simple, okay? You have to do something because you're passionate about it. Then once you have passion, all right, stop collecting paper after a while. It's not about the next certification. It's not about learning the new skill. Produce. Get out there and produce. Stop learning more garbage. There's so much garbage out there. Stay with the basics and produce. I've done this. I use squats, lunges, push-ups, pull-ups, recline pulls, and rotations and variations of that. I don't do any of these crazy stuff, vibration and proprioception and this. I don't buy into any of that. I push carts. I push sleds. I question Olympic lifts. I don't even use Olympic lifts. And you're looking at a guy that competed at the U.S. Open at 40. Talk about Olympic lifting. I'm level 2 coach, and I love the sport.
Right.
But because of soccer, you don't use soccer to make good swimmers. Okay? Specificity. Nothing has anything to do with the snatch except snatching. It's not a position for anything. Bench press, the same thing. Do I use those? Sometimes.
Sure.
But not specificity. They like you. Running is single leg at a time. Cleans are not.
That's some great advice. Well, JC, like I said, man, you had some early influence on my career and just, you know, the amount of material that you've put out through the years as you know, I just admire and appreciate people that take the time to contribute to the base knowledge of the entire profession. And as a guy that's trying to change it each and every day and doing it in my own way, I really respect the guys that have come before me that continue to do it and do it at a high level each and every day. And so I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the show and spend some time with us and sharing. And we're going to link up all your different sites. Is there anything that you want, you know, a specific place for me to send people?
Yeah, man. IHP University. That will be my legacy. The certifications that I provide don't have anything to do with ATP, glycolytic enzymes, rate-limiting enzymes. We don't even talk about bones or muscle insertions. You won't even know what the pectoralis major. I will never ask you that. Our certifications are pure applied. Pure applied information that as soon as you learn it, you can go to the floor and apply it. If it's not that, we don't even talk about it. Take another certification. We're not in competition with them. IHPUniversity.com.
Absolutely. We'll definitely link that up, man. Well, thanks again, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I came on this show because you are a colleague and you respect the road that the Giants paved before us, and you are and are walking down that road to make this place better, and that's why I'm here. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. Thanks so much.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, EliteForm.com and IgnitionAPG.com, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out RonMcKeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @RMcKeefrey, on Facebook and YouTube at @Ron.McKeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.